Love Has No Name. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1889. Papa, I want to go home. Robert Moulton looked up from his newspaper and saw his daughter standing in front of him. She was looking, he reflected, exceedingly pretty. At the same time, he knew from the expression in her eyes and the way she had spoken that she was upset. "What has happened now?" he inquired gently. "Need you ask?" Georgina replied. Robert Moulton smiled. "I suppose the prince has proposed to you," he said. "I expected him to do so, and it was obviously what he was thinking of doing last night."
"I thought he would too," Georgina replied. "And as you can imagine, he was really sure that I would accept, seeing as he has a royal title."
"And what did you say?" her father asked. He knew the answer, but he had to ask her for it.
"I said what you told me to say, and I have never seen a man crumble so quickly or make an obvious excuse to disappear." Georgina spoke scornfully. Then she walked to the fireplace and turned round, almost like her father often did, and asserted firmly, "I want to go home, and I am going home. I love England, and now I hate America."
Her father laughed. "It is what I expected, my darling, and it is obvious that you have to be sensible and accept things as they are, and not what you want them to be."
"I do not want to marry anyone, Papa, but when a man who has just told me he loves me and wants to be my husband almost crumbles like ashes at my feet, I want to kick him and say quite frankly that I want to go home."
Robert Moulton was silent for a moment. Then he said, "Of course, you must do exactly what you want to do, but I shall miss you."
"You will be going back to the fields," Georgina replied, "and the last time you left me in New York, I had dozens of invitations, but all the men made a fuss of me, not because I was me, but because I was your daughter."
Her father sighed. "We never get anything for nothing in this world. We have to pay for success, as we have to pay for poverty, or worse still, being caught stealing."
He paused thoughtfully before he went on.
"Now you just have to make up your mind to enjoy being the daughter of a millionaire. It is no use fighting against it, because it is there."
"And it makes me feel sick," Georgina exclaimed. "That is why I am so fed up with America, and I want to go home to England. At least men there behave better than those I have met here."
"I told you that this would happen, but you thought I was talking nonsense."
"I have listened to the complaints of other men who have found gold, and they have had to suffer just as you are suffering now." He stopped for a moment before resuming. "I recall one man telling me that he had received no invitations to parties because of the man who lived next door to him. This was because he was not smart enough or important enough to be their friend. Then, when he found money, he found gold, and I suppose they asked him dozens of times."
"Of course they did," her father answered. "That is fate, or rather, that is how humans behave. You have to adjust yourself, my darling, to the fact that I am now a multimillionaire, and it will be difficult for any man to think of you, except that you are framed in gold."
Georgina stamped her foot and walked towards the window. "If I marry, and heaven knows I have no intention of doing so, I want to be married because I am me, and not because you have made yourself so very rich that everyone kowtows when you appear, and the easiest way for them to share your money would be for me to marry them." She spoke so bitterly that her father rose to put his arm round her.